Nemoto presents filmmaking giants. Park Chan-wook, Operatic Violence and Surreal Beauty. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 12 minutes. You're listening to Filmmaking Giants. Today's episode is about a director who makes violence look like opera. Stylized, rhythmic, sometimes darkly funny, sometimes horrifically intimate, and then uses that beauty to trap you. Park Chan-wook is famous for extreme images. A hallway fight, a hammer, a tongue, an octopus, a revenge that turns into a labyrinth. But if you reduce him to shock, you miss the real craft. Park's films are not violent because he likes violence. They are violent because he is fascinated by what violence reveals about desire, shame, power, identity, and the hidden stories people tell themselves so they can keep living. Park is also one of cinema's great formalists. His framing is precise. His color is purposeful. His camera movement is deliberate. His editing has the snap of a blade. He understands that style is not a surface. Style is a weapon. He uses it to seduce the viewer into complicity, and then he makes you confront what you enjoyed. Park Chan-wook emerged from South Korea's extraordinary modern film renaissance, a period when Korean filmmakers began to combine genre mastery with philosophical ambition. Park is a genre artist who treats genre like a laboratory. He takes familiar forms, thriller, noir, melodrama, horror, erotic romance, and distills them until what remains is pure emotional poison. His films are often about revenge, but revenge is never simple in Park. Revenge is a narrative people tell themselves to survive humiliation. Revenge is a substitute for grief. Revenge is a way to avoid facing oneself. And Park cinema keeps asking, what happens when the revenge story collapses? What happens when you get what you wanted and discover it doesn't heal you? What happens when the thing you thought would restore dignity actually destroys what dignity you had left? To begin with Park, you have to understand his relationship to beauty. Park's films are gorgeous. Even his ugliest moments are composed with aesthetic intelligence. He doesn't hide that he wants you to look. He wants you to notice the symmetry, the color, the choreography. This is not a neutral choice. Park is deliberately using beauty to make you receptive. Beauty makes us lean in. It lowers our guard. And once our guard is down, Park can deliver his real subject, the moral consequences of desire. That's why his violence feels operatic. In opera, emotion is heightened beyond realism. Characters sing what would be unbearable to speak. Park's cinema is similar. He heightens emotion through form, through camera movement, framing, editing, rhythm, and music, so that inner states become visible. Violence in Park is not only an act. It is an expression, a confession, a form of communication when language collapses. The film most people encounter first is Old Boy, a centerpiece of modern world cinema and one of the most influential revenge films ever made. At the surface level, it's a mystery. A man is imprisoned for years without explanation, then suddenly released. He hunts for answers. The story becomes a puzzle box, each clue leading deeper into a conspiracy. But Park is not merely entertaining you with twists. He is building a moral trap. Because Old Boy is not just about revenge. It's about manipulation, how easily a person can be guided, how easily desire can be weaponized, and how revenge can be engineered like a machine. Park structures Old Boy like a descent. Each layer of revelation doesn't free the protagonist. It binds him more tightly. The more he learns, the more he becomes an instrument in someone else's narrative. And Park makes the viewer feel that instrumentality too. You want answers. You want resolution. You want the satisfaction of truth. Park gives you those things in a way that is almost cruel because the satisfaction is inseparable from horror. You realize that what you wanted to know carries a cost. This is Park's genius. He makes curiosity morally charged. The act of wanting to know becomes part of the violence. The famous hallway fight in Old Boy is a perfect example of Park's craft. It's often celebrated as a technical feat, a long, side-scrolling shot, a brutal choreographic grind, bodies colliding in a narrow corridor like an old arcade game. But the scene is not impressive because it's cool. It's impressive because it feels exhausting. The protagonist isn't a superhero. He's a man driven by rage and desperation, enduring pain through sheer will. The choreography is messy, cramped, and relentless. Park is showing you violence as labor. Revenge as a job that destroys the body. and the long take denies you relief. You can't escape. You have to watch the cost accumulate. Park's editing in Old Boy is also a weapon. He knows when to hold a shot so discomfort grows, and when to cut so the mind fills in what it didn't see. He alternates between stylized control and sudden grotesque intimacy. This rhythm creates a feeling of instability, exactly the psychological state of a man whose life has been stolen and whose identity is disintegrating. But Old Boy is only one face of Park. If that film is about revenge as an engineered nightmare, The Handmaiden is about desire as an engineered performance. The Handmaiden is, on paper, a period erotic thriller about deception. A con man, an heiress, a handmaiden, a plan to steal fortune through manipulation. But Park turns it into something richer. A story about how identity is constructed, how women are forced into narratives written by men, and how desire can become the means of escape from those narratives. The brilliance of The Handmaiden is its structure. Park retells the story from different perspectives, revealing how the same events mean different things depending on who holds power and who is being watched. This isn't just a narrative trick. It's political. It emphasizes that truth is often controlled by vantage point. In the world of the film, the male gaze tries to own female bodies through pornography, through control of the house, through legal power, through inheritance. Women are treated as objects for consumption, stories to be told about them rather than stories they tell themselves. Park doesn't simply critique this. He stages it. He forces you to inhabit it. He shows you the machinery of voyeurism. And then he flips it. He reveals that the women are not merely victims. They are strategic. They are intelligent. They are capable of desire that is not defined by male fantasy. In The Handmaiden, eroticism becomes both danger and liberation. Danger because it can be exploited, liberation because it can be chosen. Park's camera is crucial here. He films bodies with sensuality, yes, but he also films the conditions around that sensuality. Who is watching, who is controlling, who is being staged. He makes the viewer aware of their own position as watcher. And that awareness is part of the film's moral intelligence. Another important Park film, Lady Vengeance, is often discussed as the female revenge entry in his revenge trilogy. But again, the point is not revenge as catharsis. Park is interested in the aftermath, in the emptiness, in the way revenge does not restore innocence. Lady Vengeance is almost liturgical in its tone, ice-white visuals, composed symmetry, a feeling of ritual. The revenge is planned like a ceremony, but the ceremony reveals something devastating, that even justified violence does not clean the soul. It may satisfy something. It may feel necessary. But it doesn't return you to who you were before the harm. Park's films are filled with characters who try to rewrite their past. They try to correct humiliation through revenge. They try to restore agency by inflicting pain. But Park keeps showing that violence doesn't erase trauma. It extends it. It creates new trauma. It binds people together through cruelty in ways they can't escape. This is what makes Park's work, despite its stylization, emotionally serious. The style is not a cover for emptiness. The style is the delivery mechanism for insight. Park also has a remarkable gift for tonal control. He can pivot from humor to horror in a single scene without losing cohesion. This isn't random. It reflects how human beings actually process unbearable situations. Humor is often a defense. It's how we survive dread. Park understands that laughter and fear share a nervous system. He uses that connection to keep the viewer unstable, never fully comfortable, never able to settle into a single emotional mode. And then there's his obsession with shame. Shame is one of Park's central engines. Not guilt, which is about what you did. Shame, which is about what you are, or what you fear you are. Shame is identity rot. It is the feeling that the self is contaminated. Park's characters often act out of shame even when they think they act out of justice or love. Revenge becomes a way of purging shame. Desire becomes a way of escaping shame. But shame remains because shame isn't solved by external acts. It lives inside. That's why Park's films often contain moments of grotesque intimacy. The body becomes the site of truth. The body reveals what the mind tries to hide. Park is fascinated by bodily vulnerability, teeth, tongues, scars, hunger, lust, pain. He uses the body to collapse the distance between the viewer and the character. No matter how stylized the film is, the body makes it real. His editing rhythm is one of his most underappreciated achievements. Park can cut violence like percussion, sharp, precise, timed for maximum impact. But he can also cut erotic scenes with a rhythm that communicates not just sensuality but power shift. Who is initiating, who is surrendering, who is staging, who is being staged. Editing for Park is not just continuity. It's moral emphasis. It's the rhythm of control. So what does Park Chan-wook teach a filmmaker? He teaches that genre can carry philosophy. That you can use thriller structure and still explore identity, power, and desire at a serious level. He teaches that style is not superficial when it is aligned with meaning. He teaches that the viewer's pleasure is part of the ethical equation. That if you make something beautiful, you are responsible for what that beauty does to people. And he teaches that violence and eroticism are not merely content. They are languages that communicate power. Park is influential because he proved that you can be maximalist and still be precise. That you can be shocking and still be thoughtful. That you can be entertaining and still be morally unsettling. He is one of the rare directors who makes you feel both seduced and accused. Seduced by the beauty, accused by what the beauty contains. You've been listening to Filmmaking Giants. Today we explored Park Chan-wook, operatic violence, surreal beauty, and editing rhythm as a weapon. Next, we'll turn to Denis Villeneuve, the new master of scale, how he makes Cold Order feel emotional, and how he turns modern spectacle into quiet existential cinema.